Hello, and welcome to another episode of Sanctuary Shorts. I'm your host, Matt Dozier. On August 27th, the National Marine Sanctuaries celebrated the 40th anniversary of the discovery of the USS Monitor, one of the most famous ships in American history. Lost at sea off the coast of North Carolina on a stormy night in 1862, the iconic Civil War ironclad came to rest in water 230 feet deep, where it lay hidden for more than a century. I recently sat down with former National Marine Sanctuary's chief archaeologist John Broadwater to talk about his new book, USS Monitor, A Historic Ship Completes Its Final Voyage, which follows the story of the Monitor from its sinking to its discovery in 1973 to its eventual designation as our first National Marine Sanctuary. Here's what he had to say.
John, thanks for joining me.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks, Matt.
So, okay, surely a lot of books have been written about the USS Monitor. It's such a famous ship. What inspired you to write such an in-depth history of the vessel and focus on the part of its story that you did?
Yeah, you're right. There have been many, many books written on the Monitor over the years, starting right about the time she had sunk in 1862. So finding something new to write about the Monitor was I think the first objective. We really needed to tell the Monitor story from the new perspective of the folks at NOAA who had been diving out there and conducting archaeological research and finding out new information that really wasn't available anywhere else. So we felt like we did have a reason to write the book, and I consider it very fortunate that I was in the right place at the right time to be given the opportunity to develop it.
Could you actually go into a little bit about your role in the actual discovery and later years of the Monitor?
Yes, I was involved in looking for the Monitor back in 1973, and there were several groups that went out to look for the Monitor that year. We don't know why 73 turned out to be such a big year, but it seemed like everybody that was interested in the Monitor came out at the same time.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for me, I was working with a group that was looking at a set of coordinates near the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse, and we were not in the right location. So I was not on the original discovery voyage, but I was on the voyage that produced the photo mosaic that really confirmed for everyone that we really had finally found the Monitor.
So you go way back then when it comes to this story.
Yeah, I really do. And it's a shame we weren't successful in finding it, but as it turned out, all our teams sort of got together and were all working towards the same goal. So I feel like I was kind of involved, just
yeah,
remotely initially.
So I have a copy of the book here, and it looks great. I mean, you can really tell just how much work went into it. How long did it take you to write it?
Well, it's one of those questions that's very hard to answer, because from the time we first started researching the Monitor back in the 70s, we were all collecting data and also collecting experiences, I guess you could say, that would eventually contribute to the book. But I was working pretty much full-time on researching the background and writing the book for about 3 years, so it's quite an effort. But as I say, if you really put all the other time in that the initial preparation was involved, it's probably a decade.
Right. During the course of your research, what's the most interesting thing that you learned about the Monitor, something you didn't know until you really dove into the research?
There were a number of things that we learned by comparing the historical information with the archaeological information. So going back to some of the original first-hand accounts of crewmen that were on the Monitor and officers that wrote their memoirs, and then looking at what we actually found on the site, we started to get a new appreciation and understanding for what some of their comments meant. And so instead of an aha moment, it was more like a slowly developing and clarifying picture of what life must have been like on the Monitor, and thinking about the life aboard and the suffering that the crew endured during the hot summer of 62 and of course certainly during the final hours when the Monitor was sinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really made us feel intimately involved with the site.
So you were going through journal entries, that sort of thing, and really getting a glimpse into what these sailors' lives would have been like all those years ago.
That's right.
Do you have a favorite story that you would tell somebody, you know, who isn't particularly familiar with the Monitor? Maybe they heard about it in grade school, middle school history class, something like that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that everybody seems to know the name Monitor. It's a true American icon, but they tend to get confused with the details. Like I'm frequently asked now, the Monitor. Yeah, I remember that Monitor in Merrimack. And which ship was it? Was it the Northern ship or the Southern ship? And it all gets kind of confusing. But what's interesting is that the Confederate ship was officially the CSS Virginia, but it had been created from the remains of a Union ship called the USS Merrimack. So if you look back at the historical records, almost everyone continued to call the Virginia the Merrimack or the Old Merrimack. And so that's one of the questions that still comes up probably as often as any other is, well, what's the Merrimack? I thought it was the Virginia or vice versa.
Right. So the Monitor and the Merrimack were actually on the same side then.
Initially, that's right, yeah.
So what has it meant to you to be involved in the story of the Monitor, this icon of the Civil War, this iconic piece of our nation's history?
It's been a tremendous experience for me over all these years, and I can tell you that I feel like it's a real privilege that I just happen to be at the right place at the right time to get involved and to participate in all these recovery operations and to work closely with the U.S. Navy and the Mariners Museum to make this all come together as a book and an exhibit. It's really hard to put into words how important it is. And one of the things we haven't talked about yet was the incredibly emotional experience of finding two of the Monitor's crewmen in the turret and the effort to identify them, and then just recently to see them buried with honors at Arlington National Cemetery. That was truly a wonderful way to cap off the whole project.
A big thanks to my guest, John Broadwater. The book is USS Monitor, A Historic Ship Completes Its Final Voyage. You can buy a signed copy from the National Marine Sanctuary Foundation's online store. That's nmsfocean.org. And it's also available through other major booksellers. That's it for this episode of Sanctuary Shorts. Follow us on Facebook at NOAA Office of National Marine Sanctuaries or on Twitter at Sanctuaries for more. I've been your host, Matt Dozier. Thanks for listening.